We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. Please join us on March 23rd for our guest speaker, Gary Dyer. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of his kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 13, 31 through 35, followed by our sermon, Jesus' Desire for Us, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. Jesus' Sorrow for Jerusalem. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. For surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" God's word for God's people.
Good morning. Today our theme is trust. We are under the wing of God, faithfulness and covenant. The concept of taking another person under our wing is an old concept. It comes from the Bible verse that Chad read that says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her? How often have I wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her chicks under her wings?" Sometimes when we're going through a lot in life, if we take on a new job, if something happens in our life where we need guidance, we wish that Jesus would gather us under his wings. We're about to see a clip of a man who tries to gather his grandchildren under his ring. He tries very hard to break generational curses in his family.
Somebody told me they used to make a lot of honey around here.
I learned from my dad, and he learned from his.
She's as sweet as Tupelo honey.
How many places you keep these?
3, 4. 5 at a time.
Did you ever lose any?
No, I don't think so. Your daddy called tonight. Something's come up. How long is in Orlando? Are you down to go get her? She left her kids, your kids. As far as I'm concerned, she can just stay gone.
You can't stop us, cause I have to see.
Orion Pictures presents the story of a family on the edge.
You always think you know, don't you?
Well, I know better than to run from responsibility.
And the man who brought them back.
I've forgotten how to deal with new things, new feelings, new people.
You were almost a good man, Neely Jackson, but you tried too hard.
Sometimes the bees get confused and run away. You gotta keep calm and don't panic when they sting, cause they don't mean nothing by it. And that's what Healy does. And he goes out to his beach.
She's alright. And she's alright. She's alright.
In the powerful movie Yuli's Gold, Peter Fonda plays a tired man, a tired father, a tired grandfather, a tired beekeeper who runs the family business of collecting and selling the golden honey that pays the bills. It's exhausting work for a man now in his 60s who's trying to raise his grandchildren, trying to break generational curses, trying to bring his grandchildren back into the fold of God. He maintains and moves the hives. He gathers the trays and separates the honey from the wax. He spins that final product into golden jars of honey, and that honey supports him and his family. He worries about the ebb and flow of money. Will there be enough coming in? Will he have enough to raise these grandchildren, let alone possibly send them to college? His daughter has been in and out of drug rehabs pretty much all of her life. His wife has died and left him behind to raise these grandchildren on his own. The daughter calls maybe twice a year. I remember one particular scene in this movie that stands out to me. It both tears up my heart because I remember arguments like that with my own girls, and reminds me of why some species eat their young. The granddaughter is getting ready to go out on a date. Yuli can feel the last argument in the room still hovering, and he hesitantly says, "Be home by midnight." She turns around and snarls and looks at him and says, "I'd like to see you make me be home by midnight, old man." This is why some species eat their young and do not allow them to grow to be teenagers. As she slams the door behind her, he realizes he is powerful, but he is powerless to make her do anything anymore. She is no longer the grandchild that sat adoringly on his knee. One of the most popular images that we all have of Jesus Christ is that he can do absolutely anything, right? Remember, he walked on water. He took a few fish and a couple of loaves. He multiplied it and fed thousands. And in our hearts, we believe that Jesus can do absolutely anything. He's about to walk out of that tomb in just a couple of weeks. Jesus was resurrected. That same power that lives in him lives in us today. But I suspect that Yuli and any of you out there who have raised teenagers knows how Jesus feels in his lament over the city. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, ye who stones the prophets and those sent to teach her. Jesus can do a lot of amazing things, but he can only watch as his sons and daughters, you and I, slam that screen door shut and say, "Make me. I want to see you make me do the things that the Bible says. I want to see you make me treat my spouse, my significant other well. I want to see you make me pray for my enemies. Jesus can do a lot of things. He's off the chart. But Jesus cannot overpower our will. He cannot force us to love Him. He will not force us to live up to His holy word, to live up to what our conscience tells us. He will not force us, but He will continue to draw us closer. Unrequited love. You know, when you love somebody and you're rejected, that is very hard one time around. But Jesus was all about this often. Often I wish to gather them under my wing, like a hen gathers her brood under the wing to protect them, to care for them, to guide them, and to teach them. But they will not allow me. Just the same as your teenagers think they know everything and will not allow you to guide them step by step. I know some teenagers that do allow themselves to be guided, though. Some right over there, and a few more that are at home today. I remember my first love in recovery. I had almost 5 years of recovery in, so you know, I knew what I was doing then, or so I thought. And I fell in love with this guy. And I smiled at him, and I nodded at him from across the table in agreement with everything he said in the meeting. And then that phone number was procured. He asked for my phone number! And we went out on a couple of dates. And then I remember about 25 years ago, sitting on a park bench in Marion, Indiana, on Valentine's Day, where out my mouth came this babbling stream of love. You know, in my mind, it sounded like one of Shakespeare's sonnets. But today, I look back on it, and it makes me gag. It was terrible. And, of course, I scared him right off. We no longer went to the same meetings. I soon learned through the grapevine that he had started dating someone else. Fortunately, at that time, I managed to stay clean and sober. They tell you, don't get into a relationship until you have a year, because nothing will wipe you out quicker than having a relationship break up. To this day, I am still grateful for all of you for when I went through my divorce. It did drop me to my knees. I did make a lot of mistakes. I also thank God for unanswered prayer that 25 years ago, that young man on that park bench did not turn around and return those feelings towards me. Unrequited love. For teenagers, for those new in recovery, for anybody. When somebody you love doesn't love you back, that seems like the world is ending. Can you imagine how Jesus Christ feels? His desire for us is to love Him. He's a gentleman. He will not push through and subject us to His will. We were given free will. Sometimes I wish we weren't. Have you ever wished you weren't given free will? Oh, I wish that I could follow God's will, because I know that whatever God's will is so much better than whatever I can cook up here or here. But frequently, I run amok. Jesus' desire for us, no doubt, is a bit desire is a bit different, I talk, is a bit different than my desire for that young man, or for my last husband, for that fact. However, it is similar in this regard. Jesus is willing to make a fool of himself in order to get our attention. He likens himself to a hen, to a chicken, out of all animals on Noah's ark. He uses a chicken for a metaphor, not the lion that God is compared to in the Bible, not even the eagle in Exodus 19:14. I bore you on eagle's wings. There's a cagey leopard prowling through the pages of Hosea. But God is likened, Jesus is likened to a chicken. What kind of confidence does that instill in us? Have you ever watched a chicken gather in her brood? She gets a whole bunch of chicks underneath that wing and tucks that wing down, and those chicks are safe. Jesus is like a mother hen who comforts us, a mother hen who forgives us, a mother hen who comes alongside of us in our deepest trouble. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? But you would not let me. What kind of chance does this hen have with going against the likes of Herod? You remember Herod? Herod is likened to a fox in the Bible. Herod has John the Baptist's head chopped off at a party where anything goes. His new wife has a daughter, and she comes out and seductively dances for everybody and is so caught up in all of this stuff that he tells her, "You can have whatever you want." She says, "I want John the Baptist's head on a platter." Now, this man had been learning from John the Baptist, and he didn't want to do it. But in his drunken, lustful stupor, he agrees to give her whatever she wants, and the head is cut off of John the Baptist. Herod's character, by the way, was a character notoriously known. He had a reputation for having bizarre parties and doing bizarre things. The very last person you'd want your daughter to date. Curiously enough, the Greek word for fox that is used to describe Herod, according to Frederick Buechner, may or may not be an allusion to some of Herod's more exotic proclivities, the things he liked to do. In other words, they're hinting at him liking to dress as a female. Jesus probably bugged the living heck out of Herod. But that's the world we live in, isn't it? Foxes come after us. Time and time and time again. We have people who hack our bank accounts. We have people who hack our email, our Facebook account. We have people who go over and above to deceive us. There are a lot of foxes in this world. There are a lot of tricksters in this world. That is why it is so important for you to get in the Word of God, to keep yourself close to Him, to pray, to read, to come to church with others. Jesus' desire is to love us, to protect us, to guide us, to teach us the way in which we should live time and time and time again. We slam the door in his face like a teenager, saying, "You can't make me." So what is Jesus' plan? To keep loving us anyway. To keep drawing us in time and time again. To forgive us as many times as it takes. He places himself between us and the darkness in this world. Between us and the temptations that come at us time and time again. Now granted, when you sear your conscience, when you harden your heart, you can continue to sin. But at first, he gives you time and time again warnings, chances, through songs, through scripture that comes to mind, through the words of other people. How many times have you been sitting in a sermon, watched a children's message, and thought, they're talking about me? I can remember when the man who is now my spiritual father would get up there and preach. And I was like, who told him what happened to my life this week? That's God speaking to your conscience, trying to lure you back in, trying to snatch you out of the mouth of the foxes of this world. If you look closely, after having heard this scripture, pay attention. Christ upon the cross will start to become Christ Jesus with wings, gathering you under those wings, protecting you with his precious blood that was shed freely for the forgiveness of your sins. He cannot make you accept him and love him. He cannot make you do what you know is right. But he continually stirs your conscience. He continually stirs your heart. He continues to bring scripture up to you. And he speaks through other people. Jesus was a powerful teacher. Jesus was a mighty worker of miracles who, by the way, told us if we believe, we will do even greater things than him. But I have come to the sad realization that he can't do everything. He can't make me be what I know I should be. He can't make me override my will for his. He is an amazing man. His desire is for us to surrender our will, our proud, our defiant will over to him. And every day is a new start. There are new mercies every morning. Our call to worship started out this morning by reminding us that we will soon journey with Christ Jesus to the cross. We are, through this Lenten season, completely placing ourselves in his hands. Hopefully you're following those spiritual disciplines. You are examining yourself. You are looking at yourself. We need you, Jesus, by our side. Keep us walking in your holy way. Don't let us stray. Guide our feet. Hold our trembling hands. The song that we're about to hear by Lauren Daigle. When 10,000 arrows take flight, remind me that you are my armor. That there is always a place I can hide when I am desperate for shelter. You are my covering. You hide me under your wing. I am safe. Whatever comes at me, you are my shelter. You are my safety. You got me under your wings. You cover me. With every step that I take, you are before and behind me. in every fear that I face. Every fear that I face. Jesus is constantly with you.
When 10,000 arrows take flight, in my need and you are my armor, there's always a place I can hide when I am desperate for shelter.
Time of offering.